Hello everybody, I am Lucia Matuonto and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Today, we are headed to Portland, Maine, to have a conversation with Leah Chaitin. Leah is a psychotherapist, workshop leader, spiritual teacher, songwriter, and author. Her latest book, Soul of the Mountain, is now available. So, Leah, welcome to the RV.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the ride so far.
Yes, it was a long, long way, Leah. I'm so happy to be here in Portland. So could you share with our listeners a little bit about your hometown?
I'd be happy to. Well, I used to live in a different part of Maine many years ago, homesteading. That was when I was a lot younger. And it was a lot of fun. We built a log cabin and grew vegetables and animals, and I had a horse and lots of land, and it was very, very fun. But now I live in the city of Portland, or close to the city. And it's a very, very up-and-coming city. It's got lots of art. It's got everything that a larger city would have, but it's totally walkable. And it's right on the ocean. That's really what attracted me initially, is there's gorgeous beaches just minutes away. So that's Portland. I've been really enjoying it there.
I've never been there, but you know, I've always heard that this city hosts various festivals, like the jazz festival.
Yes. Yeah, it's got many festivals. It's got many art galleries. For a little city, it's got a lot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always so, but it's so now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Interesting. And what inspired you, Leah, to embark on this unconventional journey before going to college? This was a choice to live in this, let's say, more country part of Portland?
I would say it wasn't exactly a choice. It was serendipity.
I love it.
My boyfriend and then husband and I were riding around on a motorcycle up there just having fun. And we saw a sign, a for sale sign on a farm, back acres for sale. So just for the heck of it, we went to the realtor and found out we could get 100 acres for very, very, I think it was $1,000 or something like that. And so we said, what the heck? So that began the adventure. And there were many misadventures with the adventure, but it was all fun. And it was wonderful to be very close to the earth for that time. Mm-hmm. I felt a deep relationship with the land, with the woods. Growing our own food was just it was just all a really, really beautiful experience. So I enjoyed it, and then at some point decided I better go to college. I think.
Someone needs to start.
I better get an education. So off I went, very reluctantly. So mm-hmm. Never knowing that I would be coming back to Maine. But here I am in a very different place, very different lifestyle, to say the least. But yeah, it called me back. Mm-hmm. So.
And Leah, I see that you have a deep relationship with the Mother Earth, let's say like that, and you have a strong intuition. Let's discuss intuition before we start talking about your new book. How can we nurture and develop intuition? Is it something that can be developed, or is it solely innate? We are born with it.
I don't think that, I think it's innate. I really do. I think everybody can access it very differently. Some people get kind of gut reactions and they kind of go with their guts. Some people are pulled with their hearts. Something in their heart just feels like it's pulling them or saying a yes inside their heart. And some people receive visions. Or, kind of messages that are more in the head. So we can access intuition from what I call the three centers, the belly, the heart, or the head. And a lot of it is about openness and trust.
Yes, I heard about it, but I was not really sure because I have a friend also that she's very intuitive. And sometimes I say, how did you feel that? Because I didn't have the same, impression. She said, I can't explain. I have it since I was a kid, and I was so curious about it always. But it
Oh,
was
that's lovely. That's lovely. But in some ways you have it because you've written books, and in a sense, that's really following your intuition.
Yeah, that's true.
The creative process is in many ways about intuition, about knowings that we have the courage or the curiosity to follow.
And Leah, I'm curious to know what motivated you to write Soul of the Mountains?
Well, funny that you would begin with intuition, because oddly enough, all three of my books, this is my third novel. Began, I didn't, not in a way where I went looking for an idea, but something came to me. And in this case, it was a vision that I had when I was just sunbathing, kind of laying in the sun in that nice, relaxed state that one can get when one's laying in the sun. And suddenly I saw a vision of a Native American boy on horseback, beautiful young man, hair unbraided, just blowing in the wind. And he rode across my visual landscape and winked at me very clearly, gave me a wink, did the same thing in the other direction, gave me a wink. And I just knew that I was being asked to write something or explore something. And so that was the first message, and I had no idea. I wasn't looking for it. I'm not Native American, but it was a very clear request, we could say, from the from an intuitive knowing, a visionary knowing. It was very, very clear. So I just the seed got planted, and then lo and behold, probably about a month, maybe 2 months later, I serendipitously met a man, a musician, who was a very good musician in New York, who was playing and doing a recording with some people who live, some Native Americans who lived on a reservation in South Dakota. And the name of their album was Pahasapa. So I asked him what that meant. And he told me the story of Pahasapa, which in our language is the Black Hills. And there are hills in South Dakota that were for many, many centuries and still very, very sacred to many of the native peoples out there. The Lakota and other native tribes, and they have been for a long, long time. They think of it as w the mother, where creation rises up from. and use it for ceremony, for vision quests, for prayer. And when during that, the horrible time in the 1800s, when their country, this America that we know as our land, as our country, was really being settled and taken over by the settlers, when they finally were willing to trade land to get some land for themselves, the reservations, for in exchange for peace, the Black Hills were part of their reservation land. And then the minute gold was discovered there, the U.S. Government took it back. So they just rescinded the treaty just like that, and the Native people lost their land, the Black Hills. So there was something very touching about this story for me, as it's certainly not the only story of injustice, of colonialism, of insensitivity, of greed, really, of entitlement. But something really touched my heart about this, the unfairness of it. And so what it occurred to me was that this mountain had lost its soul, that she, because she got ravaged by the gold diggers, by this onslaught of gold diggers that were just greedy, that the Native Americans lost their sacred mountain, and the mountain lost her soul. So that was where, that was kind of the initial impulse, we could say, for writing the book.
I see that your book combines spirituality, fiction, and history.
It does. And fun, I must say. This book was really, really fun to write, as it turns out. It really surprised me because, you know, the underlying themes are, of course, about a lot of pain and a lot of the pain of the Native American history. And yet the characters, as they began to emerge, were actually very fun to write. So along with, it's true that there's some embedded spiritual messages. They're not blatant. They're not like in your face. They come through the characters, sometimes in humor. There's one of the characters later on in the book, doesn't begin this way, but later on in the book, who is an old shaman, who's a woman, white owl hooter, who's waiting, kind of waiting to die. She's been waiting to die for, you know, dozens and dozens of years. And she's very, very funny. And a lot of wisdom comes through her, through humor.
Ah, so she's a woman shaman. I didn't know there were shaman.
I guess there were. Yeah, so she's a kick, you know. So even though there is a great deal of pain that's revealed, obviously, about there's a part in the book where through different characters, the Native American story is told. But all of it is, all of it also has a lightness, which is what I like. I mean, it's got hope in it. The book really has hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need hope.
We need hope. we definitely need hope. We definitely need hope. So yes, the book is it's a combination which surprised me, honestly. I had no idea that this would become a book that was both a integration of some magical realism, mostly in the end, and kind of wonderful, really full-blown characters. Begins with wonderful man, a young woman, a Manhattan social justice lawyer. And you know, her she's becomes really the main character in the story. Of course, she undergoes a whole lot of transformation, but it, you know, she was asleep. She was clueless when she kind of got the knock on her door that opened her to the rest of the story that unfolds through her and with her.
Wow.
So yes, it does combine all those things.
Yeah, interesting. So it starts in New York. I mean, it's
Yes.
hi.
Yes, it does. After the initial, there's a prologue where that sets it up, where the you know in a Native American, yeah, there's a whole prologue of a tribal ritual before this, but then it fast forwards, so to speak, to Manhattan. Yes.
Talking about Native Americans, this theme is extremely important.
Yes,
And
I think so.
in your opinion, how does storytelling help preserve and share the ecological knowledge and cultural heritage of a Native American communities?
Well, as we know, or maybe we don't know, storytelling was very important to Native men, really to all indigenous tribes, because it was the way that they conveyed knowledge through generations. So that was one of the deep ways that children were taught that tradition was passed on. So it was a very there, you know, there was nothing written, obviously. It was all oral tradition, or most of it was oral tradition. So yes, it's a very important way to pass on knowledge.
Yes, storytelling. I think everything is about storytelling. Even
Telling.
for companies nowadays, they have a storytelling. And Leah, how do you balance the intuitive and visionary aspects of your creative process with the more practical aspects of writing and publishing?
I'm not sure I do, but but one of the ways, like I will write. I have to say I'm not a big fact finder. I do obviously some reading about the whatever I'm writing about, but I really do it minimally because my books are not really about the historical sequences and facts, although of course there's some of that. It all ties together. But I only do as much as I need to make sure that the story has integrity because I don't want it to get in the way of what comes through of the characters, of inviting the different characters really to tell their stories. So in a sense, the more I can get out of the way, after I've got the framework a bit, which sometimes isn't there, there's some writers really know their stories and they write, they've got their outline and that's good. That's good. I'm really the kind of writer. I think I wrote, some writer had said somewhere along the lines that writing is like driving at night, you know, on a foggy night with your headlights. You can only see like, you know, 6 feet in front of you. That's the kind of writer I am. I can see about maybe 6 feet, but I just write, you know, and let it unfold through my intuition mostly and through the characters. I mean, the characters become in some sense real. I mean, in a different dimension, real, but they're very real. They've got their own stories to tell once you bring them alive,
Yeah,
you
you
know.
are basically a pantser, not a plotter.
Right. Right. Definitely not. Definitely not.
I am the same. I never know how my books are going to finish. I start writing. The first thing I need is the character. I need to have them in my, in my
Right.
mind. And then I say, okay, I have the character. Now I will start thinking about the story. But everyone is different. And
Yes. Yeah. I kind of figured you were that kind of writer
yeah.
as well. But everyone's different. You're right. And it's all good. You just have to find what works for you.
Exactly. And Leah, what messages or themes do you hope your readers will take away from your novels? I mean, this one, the new one.
This new one. It's funny. Again, I had to think of it in retrospect because it wasn't first and foremost what was there as I was writing. So, in retrospect, what I can see is that there's a couple of things. But one is that just as we, that all of us, including countries, really need to face our truth. That until we're really willing to face the truth of our histories, whether it's a person, I know this from psychotherapy, of course, also, you know, people start to heal when they're willing to see the truth with compassion and with kindness and withholding and not with judgment, but they need to be willing to see the truth. And this country also needs to be, and all countries, but this country needs to see its truth. You know, its beauty and its ideals and its dark side. And I know that, you know, with civil rights certainly did a great deal, still going on. It's not like the tremendous wound to African Americans is still there, but it certainly began to be exposed and opened up during the civil rights movement. And I think now, and I really did not think of this when I wrote this book, but I'm noticing that now there's much more awareness of what the genocide, the attempted genocide, really, that was done, perpetrated on the native peoples here in many places, but the native peoples here. And until we really face that, you know, the country can't really heal. I mean, you know, who knows whether the divisiveness now is in part that, you know, history is the deepest part, the wounds of our history and the shames of our history, you know, are beginning to come up. And I notice all over, it's kind of lovely. We're now, at least in my part of the country, it may not be everywhere, that all meetings are started with recognition of the native peoples who whose land we are on. And they name the tri you know, particular tribes, and there's a moment of honoring them before the meeting goes on. That may not be in every part of the country, but I've noticed that more and more. So it seems like there's a kind of serendipitous alignment with that message that it's time. And what are the native people about? They're, you know, I mean, they're about many things, as we all are, but they do have the knowledge of our relationship to the earth and our interconnectedness with everything, including the star people. You know, they feel and sense in their culture the interconnectedness of everything and the importance of everything.
Yes, their wisdom. They can even guide our efforts in environmental
Yes.
conservation.
Yes, the values and that deep knowing
And our
is,
kids need to know
they do.
about them, not only about the story as you were telling us, no, about them.
I agree. I agree. And as I say, it surprised me, but once it was revealed what it was about, it made so much sense to me. It's like, of course, it's what we need. It's really the healing medicine. So that's what I'd like people to take away, as along with it being a kind of interesting, enjoyable story.
I'm sure there is a beautiful message in this book. Not only
Thank
one, maybe
you.
many.
Maybe many.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Leah, where can our listeners find you online?
Well, clearly Amazon. It will be out on Audible as soon as I can push it along. It's already I hired somebody who's just a beautiful reader. I mean, she did such a beautiful, beautiful job reading it. At some point in the next month, I hope it will be on Audible, up and running on Audible. And then there's, of course, my website, which is Leah Chaitin author, all one word, .com, and all the online sites, of course.
Thank you, Leah, very much for your participation. And I hope you can come back soon
Thank you.
to tell
And
us
it's
more.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun
Yes, thank
meeting
you.
you.
And now I'm going to check the city. The city, Portland. Thank you.
You got it. You got it.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.